It is officially Oscar season, the time of the year between the nominations being announced and the awards actually being handed out, which means it's the season when we all pile on the Motion Picture Academy for what they got wrong or what they got really wrong. And it is also a time to reflect on the mythological power the Oscars hold on our culture, and also look at some of the great works that have been honored or maybe haven't been honored over the years. Between now and Oscar night, which is March 10th, we will take time each weekend to talk about our most loved and hated awards show, as well as the movies that it's focused on over the years. This year, the Barbie snub was the first Oscar conversation that seemed to grab hold of the nation, with Greta Gerwig not being nominated in the Best Director category, and Margot Robbie being passed over for her star turn as Barbie.
What do I have to do?
You have to go to the real world. You can go back to your regular life, or you can know the truth about the universe. The choice is now yours.
But Oscar history is full of notable absences from Oscar voters' ballots. Think of Jennifer Lopez in 2019's Hustlers.
We gotta start thinking like these Wall Street guys. You see what they did to this country? They stole from everybody. Hardworking people lost everything.
Many critics called the performance the finest of her career, but despite nominations at the Golden Globes and the Screen Actors Guild, Lopez missed out on an Oscar nod. And while this year Christopher Nolan may be the frontrunner to win Best Director for Oppenheimer, he missed the director's lineup altogether for his 2008 superhero epic, The Dark Knight.
Why so serious?
That film was also passed over for a Best Picture nomination, which helped spur the Academy to expand the number of nominees in the category, which is one way that perhaps an Oscar snub can be a good thing long term. To talk about some of these cases, as well as the Oscar snubs we can still not get over, we brought in Aisha Harris, host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, as well as culture writer and podcaster Jordan Cruciola. Hey to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
We mentioned J-Lo and Hustlers, The Dark Knight. What are some other famous snubs, or Aisha, maybe snubs that you're still bothered by?
Well, I want to flash back to the night of the Oscars in 2019, when Spike Lee finally won his first competitive Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for BlacKkKlansman.
Charlie Wachtell, David Rabinowitz, and Kevin Wilmot, and Spike Lee!
Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
Now, that is not a snub, clearly. He won. But my thing is that we have to flash back even earlier to when Do the Right Thing, his magnum opus, this crowning achievement of his career, went home empty-handed. Now, Danny Aiello was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He lost to Denzel and Glory. That's okay. Spike Lee lost out to Tony Shulman for Dead Poets Society in the original screenplay category. My big issue with this is the fact that Do the Right Thing was not even nominated for Best Picture that year, or Director. And, you know, instead Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture, and we all know how frustrating that is. Mm-hmm. But what I like about the fact that a few years later, Spike Lee finally won is that that award for BlacKkKlansman felt like sort of a culmination of his entire career.
So Jordan, Do the Right Thing being passed over is one of the all-time mm-hmm. blunders. Is there anything that you think about that maybe isn't in that Hall of Fame reel of Oscar screw-ups?
I want to tell you two things. One that I, like, my favorite snub, like historically viewed as a snub, is Kevin Costner winning Best Director for Dances with Wolves over Martin Scorsese for Goodfellas. And I honestly, like, I love that because yeah. You know what? Kevin wasn't going to win that again. Like, when was Kevin Costner going to win Best Director again? But when could Martin Scorsese win Best Director? Maybe every other year. And when he finally did, yeah. It was a similar Spike Lee situation where it feels like and now Mr. Scorsese, we honor your lifetime decades of work. But he's sort of like a Meryl figure where like any given thing he does could be nominated and could compete to win. So I think, yeah, you know what? Good for Kevin. Good for Kevin.
Hey, the postman or Waterworld could have.
If we lived in a world where Kevin Costner was a two-time Best Director winner for the Academy Awards and Martin Scorsese had won, like that would be a whole different framing of this conversation and lol. But the one I'm still bitter about, and I know it hasn't been that long, but like I don't know that the bitterness will ever go away from me. Lashana Lynch should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actress for The Woman King.
Yeah.
Your family was cruel, as was my mother. It is enough to make you cry. But it is better to laugh.
The Woman King should have been nominated for a host of Academy Awards, and it was not. That movie did really strong numbers at the box office, got phenomenal critical reviews. Lashana Lynch was so powerful and compelling in that movie. Like, when that, I didn't think it was like a likely thing to happen, but it's being overlooked for like the whole run of the awards march was something that still like personally stings to me today. So on the scheme of like outside historic overlooking, I think the Lashana Lynch overlooking for The Woman King is a true crime of awards voting.
And I know we're talking more about nominations here, but I feel like honestly, not a month goes by where I don't have a conversation about Crash beating out beating out Brokeback Mountain for Best Picture.
Well, and also that year was, it was like, oh, it beat Brokeback Mountain. It also beat Capote. It also beat Munich. It also beat good, I think like Good Night and Good Luck. Like, I remember somebody asking me, what do you think? Yeah, they were like, what do you think will win Best Picture this year? My answer to everyone was literally, oh, anything but Crash. Anything but Crash.
Yeah, I mean, but again, the thing about Crash winning is that like now it has, it may have the Oscar, but it does have also the reputation now of being the one that, like, one of the most undeserving wins. And obviously, Brokeback Mountain stands up, all of those other movies stand up in the test of time in a way that Crash never could and never will. So, yeah, I'm trying to look on the bright side, you know.
A snub that lets everybody know how bad a movie really was, because we just keep talking about it every year.
Exactly.
Do either of you see any trends to what the Academy gets wrong?
I mean, there are a lot of people who aren't white contenders, so it's probably going to come up short. Like, I feel like that's still the drumbeat of the Academy Awards. I feel like things are, you know, there's incremental moves toward that being less the case, but that's still the case to me, cut and dry.
Yeah, I mean, this year, I don't really have that much to complain about. I think we do have, like, you have Lily Gladstone, you have Comen Domingo, Daniel Brooks all being nominated. There are other POC who have been nominated in these categories as well. But it's not even just about that. It's about the types of movies that are often overlooked or at least don't get nominated in the categories that you would expect them to. It's often the movies that are the historical dramas, the war movies that get all the attention. That, I think, is the sort of trend that we often see that's kind of annoying to see, but is the way Oscars are going to Oscar.
That's Aisha Harris, a host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, as well as Jordan Cruciola, a culture writer and the host of the podcast Feeling Seen on Maximum Fun. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.